farts, fish, and fine arts on this episode of Android App Addicts. Everybody, welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 513. I am your host, Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox, and I am here flanked by the two wizards of Android appery, Eric, the manager, Ardini, and Steven, door-to-door geek, Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Could possibly be the first time I've ever been called a wizard.
I try to keep it
fresh.
I'm
good. Yeah, I'm good, Mark. It's very hot out again. It's summer. We like that. Nothing wrong with that. Had a safe 4th of July. We did have a local.
Fingers.
Yeah, I have everything. I didn't go anywhere to watch them. I saw enough around my neighborhood. I didn't really need to go. There was an unfortunate accident in the Quad Cities, though, where a tree branch fell and killed two people during the fireworks show.
Wow.
And then also a lady was pregnant and they had to take her in for an emergency C-section. She ended up naming her daughter after the two people who died that day too. It was a weird, really weird freak accident.
Well,
hey,
bringing join the tone us down next right week from the beginning.
When we talk.
Oh, this isn't the Debbie Downer's podcast. I thought. Oh,
hi, welcome to the show.
I've got lint. Go ahead, Dor. How are you, man? Or how are you, Mark?
I'm doing well. I got together with some friends and we did the old redneck fireworks display, which was great. It was just, hoping nobody died, and it was fine. You know, it was a good time.
Yeah, I went over to my mother-in-law's house. My youngest one, from around 10 a.m. till 10 p.m., every 5 minutes would cry. And then in his typical fashion, 30 seconds later, he's smiling and watching TV or playing a game or something. He changes so quickly, it's insane. But this crying, he started out in the morning with stomach cramps. His nephew had stomach cramps like the day before, and it was like a Dale, like a 24-hour bug. So every half an hour, 40 minutes, whatever, he would just double over in pain, crying about his belly. You know, a couple hours later, he just started crying when he was on the toilet about his butt hurting. There was nothing I could do for him. You know, I gave him Imodium, gave him Tums, gave him some Pepto thing. Nothing was working. And then we went over to my mother-in-law's house, who has the toilet paper reminiscent of sandpaper itself.
Scotty's off sandpaper. That's the one I like.
So I told him, I said, look, the best I can offer you is we can go home where we have better toilet paper, or you can stay here and watch this $20 version of Maryland in Supreme air quotes fireworks, which are nothing more than glorified sparklers and stuff like that. And he said, I'm not going home, Dad. I saluted that boy. Good job. I'm going to go back over here and play Stardew Valley on my Switch.
All right. Mark, you've got to have a better story than us two.
Well, this particular year, it's a pretty mild story. The funniest thing that happened was around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, just a good old fashioned frog strangler thunderstorm came through, dropped about 3 inches of rain in about 10 minutes. And where we were all hanging out there, there's a low area in the parking deck, and it created about a 3-inch puddle. It was like 3 inches deep and about 15 feet wide. That then became the center of activity for the rest of the day as the kids stomped and splashed and played in the mud puddle. So, yeah, nobody's butt was hurting, at least not that I know of. But I do have a story. It's a bit of a long one. If those of you who say we talk about apps too little, just fast forward a little bit. But when I was in college, I was in a band, and one of the things the band did to raise money was we would rent out our sound equipment because we had quite a bit of sound equipment. And being the sound man, the sound engineer, I came with the equipment, mainly because I didn't want anybody else touching the stuff. And so I was in Lone Oak, Texas, population 400, maybe, very small town. And they were having a fireworks festival thing behind the covered pavilion out behind the volunteer fire department. And they got a hold of some professional grade fireworks. And so the Volunteer Fire Department, also known as Billy Bob, Eddie Earle, and Jimmy Jack, all got back behind the little pavilion area there and was launching them. And I don't know if you've ever been too close to a fireworks display. You shouldn't be. Most people are a quarter mile or more away. First off, they were launching them pretty much straight up, like 90 degrees. And so you had to crane your neck to see anything. But secondly, and what I didn't realize, is that those poor guys who are launching those things, all that stuff comes back down, still in flames for the most part. You know, all those little things that explode come floating down as embers. And so, you know, after the first, it was, ow, ah, oh. And so there's, you know, 200 people getting rained on by flaming debris. I'm trying to grab all the speakers and equipment and keep it covered. And at one point, one of the giant mortars fell over after they lit it.
Oh.
Launched into the audience, into this lady's lawn chair. It's one of the old, you know, the green and white vinyl straps wrapped around the metal. One of those guys.
Oh, okay.
She throws herself out of it just before it explodes, shoots magnesium all over the place. Couple of rednecks pour their beer on the fire to put it out. She jumps back in the lawn chair. Everybody moves on like it was no big deal. And that I pretty much swore off fireworks after that moment. It was fireworks and inbreeding were the two things that I swore off after that day. Most frightening day of my life. Absolutely.
We'll save the inbreeding for next week on why you swore that off.
Well, it's because clearly that was the example, the reason why all that was going on. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say this year, two areas, I want to say counties, one in Texas, one in California, basically banned all public fireworks display because of chance of fires happening, because of the debris falling down. What goes up must come down, at least when it's close enough. What they did, a lot of those towns, was they ordered drones to come out and do light shows.
Okay, basically. That's fun.
Oh, see, I can't wait for that.
I think that could be cool.
Two years ago,
Super Bowl.
Yeah, that.
Yeah,
I swore when I saw that. I think it was Pepsi who did that. I'm like, well, that was the end of fireworks, and these are really
cool.
That's what
I thought too. But there's a lot of money in fireworks,
yeah.
And the hardest thing to do is change money. And do you know the number one largest buyer of explosive things in the, I believe it's the world, but the United States?
Disney.
Da-ding. Nobody in the world, I'm pretty sure, buys more explosive than the company Disney.
Yeah, because they're setting off fireworks at every park every night.
I know. I mean, they're poised to take over the world. Just, you know.
And, you know, the best time I've discovered to buy fireworks is at like 1 p.m. on the 4th of July, because they're giving away stock at that point. Like, we just don't want to repack it back in the warehouse. This thing that yesterday was $180, $15, take it. And they're probably still making a ton of money, even at that. There are places around here that rent out, like, strip mall space 365 days a year. You can only sell fireworks in Georgia for about 30 days, 2 weeks before the 4th of July, the week between Christmas and New Year's, there's another one in there somewhere. But that's about it. But they make enough money to rent that mall space all year long. On that 30 days. So it must be a tremendous markup on that stuff. Those 5-year-old Chinese girls apparently just don't need much money to make those things.
Welcome to American economics and social economics.
So that's how I celebrated my Independence Day. Not the 4th of July. I don't open Christmas presents on the 25th of December. I don't give candy on the 14th of February. I don't shoot fireworks on the 4th of July. It has a name. It's Independence Day. That's my pedantry for the evening.
Yeah, I'll say the older I am, I'm just going to say this because of people I consider friends like Ellis Owens and a lot of others. The older I get, the more I don't want to say against fireworks, but I almost take offense to them is what I would say. You know, let's try to be a little conservative with them, at least everywhere, because there are people out there, especially like vets with PTSD, shock from, you know, having stuff literally explode by them, near kill them, kind of stuff. I don't want to light fireworks at my house, you know, period. I'll go someplace and watch them, and I'll even pay to watch them or help, you know, whatever. But I don't like the idea of doing them at my house just because I've had too many friends that tell me stories about being in their house and going through the ordeal.
That's a fair point. But yeah. At the same time, it is a tradition that is centuries old on that day in this country, you kind of have to deal, you know.
Well, I would want to one up you and say I'm okay with someone doing, I don't want to say GoFundMe, but some kind of raising events to where, you know, people with PTSD that can't afford it, maybe go a place where, you know, it's more controlled environment.
Like a loud concert where vacation. You never hear them.
Or, you know, some sort of like vacation thing. You know what I mean?
Pop a Valium, put your earplugs in and sleep it off. Anyway, that was cold-hearted of me. I understand.
Jeez, Mark.
I just,
he had such a better story going that was uplifting than us. And then
it's just,
misses just one week. And
it's the old man, get off my lawn thing. I'm tired of single individuals, no matter how deserving they are, thinking that all of society needs to bend to them.
Well, and that's why I tried to use my words carefully, right, Mark. I don't want to say that we have to. I just do.
Right. I get it.
Myself. And I don't want to live in a ordered civilization. I like the idea of free will.
There you go. So I missed last week. I apologize for that. I was just not feeling well. I'm back this week and happy to be back. Did I miss anything exciting? I haven't listened to the show yet. I'm way behind on my podcast.
Oh wait till you hear it, man.
Okay.
Well, no. We had a problem with our normal publication method of the normal feed through podnos.com and Android App Addict. The All Shows feed, come to find out, did release the show on schedule Sunday night. And if you were a Patreon subscriber of any level, you had access to an RSS feed within Patreon where you got it last Thursday night. Literally around 11:30, 12 o'clock every Thursday night I publish it to them. But the normal feed stopped working because just about this time, Mark, 100 episodes ago, we started better documenting all the apps. Because of that, now when I go to, or maybe there was an update with WordPress, but I think it was at the first. Now when you go to the feed itself, it's over 1024 kilobytes on FeedBurner. When you go over that limit, they basically suspend your feed because you have the potential to use too much bandwidth. You know, somebody can sit there all day and just refresh their podcast client, like, you know, a jerk with 140 subscriptions on his device might do that kind of thing. I contacted my WordPress guy. We had a couple emails back and forth, took like a day and a half for that. And so I gave him like a day, and then I emailed him again. I said, can you fix this? Fix what? This. He said, oh, well, you should be able to fix that inside FeedBurner. Search for Google, search FeedBurner, found nothing. Went in WordPress, found what I thought would work, cleared out the cache and everything, and it didn't seem to work. And then all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, I got a tweet saying the show was published. So whatever I did worked. And it just went out an hour before we went live.
Nice.
So a lot of people will be doubling up this week. That's all right. At least they won't think that we didn't do a show.
Well, I mean, this got published Thursday. The next one will get published again Sunday. So you still got like a 3-day
break. Oh, yeah. That's
true. I think the moral of this story is subscribe via Patreon.
Ooh, good point.
Problem solved.
Well, here's one thing that Patreon, Mark, you're a Patreon-er, whatever. You tell me. I'm pretty sure it's almost in Patreon's best interest, in their best corporate interest, to not give Patreon creators good tools to measure statistics on clicks, opens, reads, or anything. Do you know of any place in that tool where you can get any kind of measurement reports, Mark?
I've never bothered to look. I don't care about that.
I don't, but here's the thing. I think a lot of people don't. The same token, I believe even more people who subscribe to Patreons, whenever they see an email, they literally just delete it. They don't even open it up. They almost never go to patreon.com of any type. The only reason they would is to do a new Patreon subscription to somebody else. That's what I believe a huge majority of the people doing Patreon do. Because I'm on like 30 Patreons. I don't see much activity back and forth. I see plenty of postings by the creator, but not much else.
True. It's not the community it was intended to be. Community is hard. It's hard to build a community.
There has to be that 200% better, not just 110% better. You got to be even more better in order to get people to change their thing. The only thing I was asking about from last week, Mark, is have you tried Google Play podcast app anymore or at all? Because I tell you, it's never worked right. I put the exact same feeds that go into FeedBurner, who is owned by Google. I put those very same feeds into that. And on most of the Podnut shows, when you go 2 to 3 episodes back, you hear something that's not Podnuts whatsoever.
I think that's an artifact from iOS or from Apple. Apple does that too.
I don't put in the iTunes feed to Google Play Music podcast thing. And like three Linux for the Rest of Us, if you go back in time, three of them, it all of a sudden changes to GNU World Order with Klaatu, which, hey, I'm cool with. He's a really cool guy, but they don't even have that working right. So I know I'm only a fraction of the actual problem out there. It has to be more than just me.
Maybe that's not a bug. It's a feature. Maybe they're trying to foster discovery, and that's the method they've chosen to do it.
I would be shocked if Klaatu would put his show on Google Play Podcast. That's my belief. My belief is if he knew it was on there, he wouldn't like send them a cease and desist, but I don't think he would be excited about it. Or he might laugh.
I don't know. You put something out there in the public, you can't really control where it goes.
True. Like fireworks. Oh,
wait. Wait, we're right back to there. All right. Any Android hardware we need to... I got hit up on Google Plus. Actually, it was an indirect hit up. Your friend and mine, Nightwise, posted a question about the Moto G6, and a listener to this show replied that Mark has been using the Moto G stuff a lot, and unfortunately, I'm not a part of that community. I couldn't comment on it, but I will just say I haven't tried the G6 yet. I'm going to. It's the next phone I'm going to buy, but I have in my family had the G3, the G4, and the G5, and they've all been outstanding base model phones. They're not power user phones by any means, but they're the best of breed for the base model phone. So I have no reason to think the G6 won't be the same.
My son lost his phone 2 weeks ago at the same place we went for 4th of July. It backs up to water with a concrete like wall that's very low. You know, it's the same height as the grass, basically. But he was on that, and he basically slipped, phone fell, boom, in the water. The bottom of it's all deep, soft mud. The thing's gone. So we took him. I, of course, wanted to go to Swappa. I'm married, so I had no say in the situation. So we went to T-Mobile, and he picked out a Moto E4, which I believe is the new E version, which I believe it goes, there's the Play Editions and the Zs.
Right.
Gs, Es are definitely lower. I can tell you right now, that device, I am shocked at the build quality on it. Doesn't have a fingerprint reader, a couple things it didn't have. But except for that, very impressed at the quality of the device. I can only imagine what the G is the same fit and finish, a little bit tighter, even, and then good hardware.
Yeah, the G is either 250 or 300, depending on how much SD you put in it. And it's right up there with the best of the low end phones. It's not a flagship. But nobody in my family, not even me, honestly, needs a flagship. I want a flagship because I'm a geek. But the rest of my family doesn't care about speeds and feeds and specs. They don't care. They just want a good, solid phone. And so the Moto G series has been faithful to me. And my next phone will be the G6 and probably the G7 and the G8 after that. With four women to buy for, I'm pretty much buying a phone every year.
Well, you do know how in the rest of the world, Motorola brand is ridiculous, right? Yeah. Like South America area, they own it. Like when you go walk around here, you see Samsungs every, you know, two out of three, three out of four phones or whatever. You go down to South America and it's almost all Moto. So we are the beneficiaries of that market is what I'll say.
It's a Far East movement.
That sounds like a marketing slogan.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But on my son, all he cared was, does YouTube work on the phone? Okay, I'll take it.
Problem solved.
That's all he cared.
All right, so that's our hardware talk. How about we talk about some software? Who's got an app to bring? Button, who's got the button?
I've got one. I got an app, Mark.
All right, let's do it.
The Far East Movement is a band who sang the song Like a G6. I think that'll probably be your ringtone for a while when you first get it. So enjoy that one. It's a great song. It's a great song. Mark. Really good song.
It's also a great aircraft. So,
yeah. Ivor Davies has been really hooking us up with some great apps lately. And I looked at this one only because I love the name of the app, and it's called Siggy, a fart from a loosener. Does that sound right? Does that look right, Mark?
It Siggy? Still isn't loaded on my screen. Sorry.
Oh. Siggy, a fart for Malusina by pixel.lu action game. Dor, you would love this game, I think. It's a side-scrolling 16-bit zombie game. Uh-huh. And your player farts sometimes. That's all it is. But it's a fun game. It kind of reminds you of Mario-ish a little bit. Have you played this yet?
Cannot say I have, and I'll say to the people watching live, my Synergy is my software pick of the day because it's not working. So I'm not showing any of the apps or videos on the live stream. I'll have them listed on the description beneath. I've never heard of this, and anything with the word fart in it, immediately I don't want to install, Eric.
Oh, yeah, no, those are my apps, so I'm just bringing them to the show for you. You could ignore, the fart's not a major player in the gameplay at all. It's just a fun little platformer.
Take your word on it.
I've got a couple from Ivor. Ivor's been hooking me up with some great apps lately. Sometimes he's in the show. Sometimes he's in the. Maybe he just sent it just to me because he knew the fart would offend you.
Oh, I guess.
Door's pretty hard to offend. Video. I don't know if offend is the right word.
You could be offended by farts, couldn't you? I mean, you're really shallow if you are, because, you know, everybody does it except for girls, but.
Right. Yeah, it is a 2D side-scroller platformer game standard.
The guy does look a lot like Mario.
Pixel.lu. What'd you say, Mark?
I said the guy does look a lot like Mario, the little character.
Yeah, well.
With a beard.
It ain't hard. $1.99 to buy it.
Oh, must have been. I did buy it then. I couldn't remember if it was free or not.
Well, I'll say it says everyone 10 and up. I'll say you're shooting for 10 years old when the fart is in even the name. I'm just saying.
Remember when the iPhone app store, the premier app store on the planet at the time, was like 80% flashlights and fart apps? Let's face it, yeah. The fart is timeless.
There'll always be somebody downloading a fart app now till the end of time.
Oh, yeah. And it'll probably be me, and I'll share it with the others.
All right, Mr. McLaughlin, what's your first app of the night?
Okay, well, it's hard to follow that one up. This one is, I've heard a couple people in our communities talking about download managers, and I, being me, just stopped and said, excuse me, a what? Why would you possibly need a download manager?
That's a good question.
I know. Well, I'll say they're not in the U.S., so maybe it has something to do with bandwidth limitations, bandwidth being throttled, or just home wireless being so much quicker. So this was like one of the apps that I was stumbling across called UGET, U-G-E-T, completely free ads, has a $9.90 add-on to make it the totally paid version. I'll say it's just what it sounds like. You click, it intercepts links, you send it, share it out links, both of them either or, and then you can queue stuff for download later. I don't really know what else you need to do except that.
I guess if you have limited mobile bandwidth and you want to make sure you download everything when you get onto Wi-Fi, queuing to download later makes sense. But that's the only other reason I can come up with to have a download manager on a phone. I don't understand download managers ever. I never did. Even
back
when
I used to use it for. I mean, I used to use a download manager, and I don't remember what the case was.
Like in the early days of dial-up, when you had to queue things up to download when you went to bed, that was the only time I ever used a download manager.
Maybe you know what? That's probably what it was. BitTorrent, I guess you could consider that a download manager because it handles all of that, but it has to.
So it's out there, and it's a thing. UGETDM.com. Okay. Eric, what's your next farting app tonight?
Well, my next app is not a farting app, but it is from Ivor again, and this is an app called Artista Impresso by JixPix Software. This is just kind of another filter app that you can take the pictures off of your phone and make them look like somebody painted them.
And that's Jix with a J, Pix. JixPix.
Yeah. If anybody's in the Android App Addict's Google Plus feed, Ivor, in his post, showed a bunch of examples that he did of his own pictures, and they looked really, really good. I thought about possibly maybe taking this app, modifying some of the pictures of like my house and my yard or something like that, or nature pictures, and then putting them together in one of those the Google photo books. I've never made a photo book through Google yet, and they keep hounding me to do one, and they're only like $10 plus shipping. So I thought, oh, maybe this would be a good thing to try it out with or something. I did like I did do one picture with it, and it turned out really, it was super simple, but it turned out nice looking, like somebody painted it.
Gotcha. Yeah. So this is $2.99 to download.
Oh, is it now? Earlier today it was free.
Oh.
So I was bringing it today.
Well, free's nice.
Yeah. So maybe it'll be on sale again. They have a ton. This developer has a ton of these kind of filter apps.
I mean, these examples on the app webpage are very impressive. They look like paintings. Presumably, these all started as photographs. It's really cool. I just don't know that I have a place for it in my life, so I'm having a hard time commenting.
Well, it's a lot easier to swallow if it's a free app, I think. I don't, unless you have a specific use case, paying $3 is going to be a tough one.
Like, there's one here of a dock of some sort, maybe in New England or something, and that's the kind of thing that you could take that picture, you could use this app, and if this is the actual result you get, I'd blow that up and make a wall hanging out of that. That's a beautiful piece of art.
Examples that Ivor showed on his that he took off of his phone were all hanging quality portrait. You know, they look like something you'd definitely see hanging somewhere in somebody's house. And I don't know if he went out of his way to take those pictures or if they were just kind of hanging out. See, Ivor, you got to come to the chat room and let us know these things.
Is this evidence of technology eliminating the need for humans to create art?
I think, well, isn't it an art? Aren't you an artist if you're taking the picture, sort of? And then you could take, you could let the computer
check. Wow, that was strong.
Yeah, but you could easily put a feed from NASA, the NASA channel, into an app like this and just crank out cool art using, you know, free stuff.
And then you print these out, right? Or have them printed. And then you take some gloss and spray over top of them and then and then beat that gloss up a little bit so it's got like the texture to it of a oil based paint or something.
Glue it to a canvas.
Take it to that TV show,
Antiques Roadshow. Trying to fool the specialists.
I'm almost tempted to buy this just to experiment with it.
Well, if Eric, hey, I would like to see some before and after pictures from you two. If I took more pictures, I think this would be awesome. But my pictures are typically barcode on packs of beef jerky or cheese. I mean, that's the only thing I take pictures of.
Sadly, my camera roll consists of things like inventory tags, things like that. I don't want to write this down. Let me snap a picture of it.
Yeah. When I was at tech, I would take PC numbers and IP addresses all the time and just take pictures.
One thing that's really nice about this, too, is this app and is you don't have to have the picture saved on your phone. You can log into your Google Photos stream where all of your photos are saved and pull pictures right out of there to go straight into here. You don't have to download them to your phone first.
Do you know if you can save them back up to Google Photos? Because I'm just saying, that might be nice.
I'll find out. I'll just do one very quickly here and see. I've got a nice photo here of, I don't even know what this is a photo of. Oh, bacon. Now look at
picture of bacon.
This photo here. I don't know if you guys are going to be able to see it. It automatically did that to my photo. If you can
see it. It's gorgeous.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a photo I took while I was camping of a rainbow. And that's how long it took to do it. Now I'm going to try to save it. I don't even know.
Export. Share. Just share. Share it to Google Photos. That should work too.
I don't even see a button for that. I might have to report back. I don't see a share button.
If it's stuck on your phone forever, that sucks.
Yeah, that's not good. And I'm hitting, home. Okay, there we go. We got it. And we can do share, save. So it's saving somewhere right now. Saving complete. But I can say, as far as share, I can go save, send to, save preset, straight to Facebook, things like that too. Google Photos was not one of the obvious ones in the share though. And there's a one button save too. All right. I said hit the back button to get to this menu. And you can do all your cropping and stuff in there too. That one I might have to blow up. I don't even recognize that place. It's so, the paint distorted it so much. If I wasn't there literally a week ago today, or 2 weeks ago today, I wouldn't know where that was. But I can tell what it is. It's a place with a rainbow and water.
Oh, yeah. $3. Honestly, I'm tempted to keep it, like, bookmark it and then maybe later pick it up. I do right now literally have $13.13 in Google Play opinion rewards.
Speaking of that, I had a new one from them. So I went to Bergner's. You know how Bergner's and Yonkers are all closing? Do you have those stores?
The hell is that?
It's a store in a mall.
I know malls are closing.
Okay, so these stores went bankrupt, and they're selling out. I got home and the Google Rewards asked me if I went shopping at Bergner's. I'm like, yes. They're like, did you pay cash or credit card? You know, that typical thing it always does. I said, yeah, I paid cash. They're like, would you mind taking a picture of your receipt?
I got that too.
I'm like, I don't mind. I'd take a picture of my receipt. That was a 64 center. I thought for taking a picture, I was going to get a buck for sure, but I don't know.
It's random. It's completely random, it seems.
I got that at a restaurant that I'd been to. I didn't have the receipt. I just said, no, I don't have it. But I was curious as to what their objective is to that.
Validate, verify, score higher in their ranking algorithm.
Well, I did buy a bath scale while I was there, so now I'm probably going to get more diet ads. Mm. I don't know.
I was at an Italian restaurant. I wonder if I'd be seeing ads for, like, linguine if I had done that.
Or Mario Kart 8.
International soccer, maybe? I don't know.
All right. Dor, your turn. App, please.
I'll say this. We in the past have had a great number of apps that did similar kinds of functions.
Sorry to interrupt, but Rhino says somebody ought to take a screen grab of the show and run it through this app. That would be funny. Somebody should do that post-haste.
I don't know about that. Okay. We've seen apps that do these kinds of things in the past here and there. This one, I'll say this. The way I'll differentiate this from older applications that did soft phone functionality, this is more business focused, where everything we saw in the past was much more hobbyist focused. You could do it for, you know, just to have. This is a second phone number via software on your phone. So this is, with this kind of app, you could easily have a phone literally with three or four phone numbers on it, and you don't need to be connected with Google Voice or I want to say Vivo or something like that. The other one was called. There's a couple of them out there. This one is business focused. I will say free 7-day full featured trial. After that, $9.99 a month because it's a phone number. I met one person a couple weeks ago that swore by this app. And I trust the guy is what I'll say. I know the guy. So I'm definitely peeking this out. I don't ever answer my phone, so I really can't test the phone part because, you know, I don't call anybody.
If you can get a toll-free number for $120 a year, that seems like a bargain to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I will say I didn't go through their terms of service. I have no idea what they're doing. Maybe everything goes through their system. If it does, then use it like a tool. Use it for a business-type function so you can have things recorded, like when phone calls happen kind of things. I just like the idea of this, is what I'll say. And it works okay. I'm not going to say great and fantastic. I will say it actually works. I did do at least one test call with my son. So, of course, he was like, who is this? Who's calling? So, I got him.
I can't use, I mean, I don't have a use case for this, but I could see if you, I wonder what kind of choices you get in selecting your phone number. If you wanted to, like, have your so-called business that you're actually running out of your basement show up, like, in a fancier zip code than where you actually live, maybe that would be. That would be how I would use it, I guess. But
from the looks of the, I'm reading through the reviews, it looks like you have to give them a credit card before you can use the free app. So basically, you're buying the service, and then you get 7 days to cancel it.
Yeah, or just use a card you know has no money, and it's not a credit card. That works too.
And it's Wi-Fi calls. Says here that you can go into airplane mode and turn on just Wi-Fi and make a phone call. That's kind of handy.
Yeah, Wi-Fi on in airplane mode?
Well,
you can turn it on.
Oh. Right.
Yeah, I mean, to me, $9 a month, a solid alternate phone number if you want, you know, and you can basically change it, it seemed like, but not like every minute or every day. I think you have it for at least like 3 days. So, you know, it worked.
Interesting idea. I need a fax service that does this because, believe it or not, in 2018, mostly government and sometimes healthcare people, sometimes schools, require faxes. I need to be able to take a picture from my phone and send a fax because people suck.
They're hard to find, but there are services out there that will take your picture, you send it to them as an email from a registered known address. They then send it as a fax, and it's at a very low rate or free. The gimmick is they precede the fax with a full paid ad,
right.
A full page ad of a cruise or whatever stupid thing it is. So the other person ends up paying for it. You make them paying for asking for a fax. I like the idea. The services have come and gone. I haven't found any here. I was just asked that very same question 2 weeks ago, Mark. I had a really hard time sifting through which ones were free and did this kind of thing, because that's fine by me, but most of them wanted at least like $2 a month.
Yeah, there are a few web services that will let you send, you know, like up to 3 pages one time a month, that kind of thing. You upload a PDF, but I haven't seen anything for the phone that is actually useful. I'll put it that way.
I don't send faxes hardly ever. I usually make them accept my email, but there's certain places that will not email me things. They'll only fax it to me, specifically the county that I live in. But
yeah, and they just expect you to have a fax machine in your living room.
And I've got one, not in my living room, but and then they charge you 75 cents for the fax that you need to have to get this thing done. So that's a separate page with a bill. It's like, oh, here you go, 75 cents. All right.
Just a quick aside. Some time ago, this was many years ago, actually, I was applying for a job, and one of the things they required on the job was a copy of my college transcript. I just right then said, I don't want to work for you. I'm done. I'm 40 years old. It was like 35, I guess, at the time. And you want to see who I was as a 20-year-old? Not interested. Bye. But not only that, I had to go, like, they expected me to go to the registrar, pay for a certified copy, then pay to fax it to them just so that they could interview me for a job. Guess what? Government.
You'll have that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're up to Eric now. Your turn, sir.
I'm going to start off by saying that a lot of times on this show, we've brought a lot of apps similar to this one. This is a new app that just came out. It's called Notion Notes, Tasks, and Wikis from Notion Labs. And I have not had it. I've never really got into these apps, but if you are into note-taking apps, this one shares it across multiple platforms fairly easily, it looks like. It gets great reviews so far. It's one I think would be worth checking out. It has been out for other platforms, but just came to Android just now.
Huh.
I've never been able to wrap my head around a note-taking app like these, though, like Tasks and stuff. But I've got it installed, and I will give it a try.
I can see where Teams, this could be really helpful.
Yeah, I'll say that. When you set it up, it asks you if this is going to be independent yourself or for your team to use. And then it also asks you if you're going to use it for home or work. And I guess it's got probably has templates on how it's used based on your answers to those questions. 10,000 installs updated today. And I think it had 4.3 reviews, stars.
I'll say I do like the idea of notes. I'm always worried about any sharing thing, like where does it get stored? Is it peer-to-peer? Is there any in encryption? Is there any authentication? I can't tell. I'll say it looks smooth. I don't know. I still use Standard Notes, which is a very archaic-looking, acting application with Linux, Windows, Mac, desktop clients, and Android client that if you forget your password, there is no such thing as a reset. All the data is gone.
Mm.
They can't get into your account. They don't know what your password is. So I guess I'm becoming that paranoid old guy.
I'm a Google Keep guy.
Oh, Google what? Drive?
Google Keep. Keep.google.com.
Yeah.
Which appears to do most of, if not all of this stuff. But yeah, I mean, if you're in, like you said, Eric, if you're into notes, then you want to try different stuff. I love the idea of Kanban board, actually. You may have just sold me on that just because there's a Kanban board there.
What board?
You don't know what Kanban is? I believe it's a Japanese concept. It was developed in the 70s or 80s by, I think, Toyota. It's a process of taking like tags and moving them from one column to another as things are in process. We use it heavily at work, actually, because I suggested we use it heavily at work to track our ongoing projects. But I like the idea of having Pocket Kanban.
This does not have a Linux desktop,
no.
but you can use a browser for it.
Probably works in Wine.
I'm sure. Everything, I mean, pretty much everything works in Wine.
Just some things better than
others. On their product page mark, did they call it that?
Yeah, it's one of the screens. The things, the link Eric sent is just straight to the reviews. If you go back to the actual app page, 1, 2, 3, 4 pictures over, says Kanban boards.
Gotcha. I went to their website. Gotcha.
Yeah, so a basic Kanban board would have, like, upcoming, in progress, and completed.
Hmm.
Yeah, I see them on episodes of Silicon Valley, kind of like that. Where there's basically, you know, yeah, like you said, staging, in works, deployed, done. You know what I mean? Kind of thing, because you got to verify. Yeah, yeah.
Is Silicon Valley going to have another season? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure they were already signed to another season.
Okay. I missed that show.
Well, the last season just ended maybe a month ago.
Oh. Ooh.
A month and a half ago.
I might be busy a while then.
Oh, there you go.
So I have a nerd challenge.
Oh, wait. Is that there? On HBO, though? Silicon Valley?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have HBO Showtime, anymore. That's why I didn't know. Okay. Never mind.
Mm. Eric, there's this thing called torrents. I don't know if you heard of them.
Oh, we can talk like what I was show. Talking about earlier. BitTorrents. Mm-hmm.
BitTorrents are specifically for legal ISOs of Linux distributions, right? That's all you can use those for.
I've used those for that.
Yeah, that's what they're for. So anyway, my nerd challenge. I have my to-do list is something I built in Excel that is weighted based on I do a relative importance and the number of hours, and it does some calculations based on the current date, the number of hours remaining of work to be done, the importance of it. And so whatever's at the top is the thing I should be working on. All right, that's not the geek part. The geek part is my workplace will not allow me to use Google Docs, and this app that I've created is an Excel spreadsheet. I need some way to edit that on my phone in an environment that doesn't allow you to access things on your phone, like maybe send an email to my system, my lockdown system, that will grab the subject line out of the email and put it in my notes. And I need somebody out there who's good at getting around systems to come up with something like that for me.
Which way do you need it to go?
I just need to be able to access my spreadsheet when I'm not at my desk. That's the simplest way to put that.
So you want to get like an update, and then you want to be able to send updates back?
Yeah, I want to be able to add things to my task list when I'm not at my desk.
What if you had the spreadsheet in like Google Sheets?
Ain't hard.
Well, that's what I just said. Google is verboten.
Well, the sending them to him is super easy. That's just an if this then that recipe. Anything, if you want email, you just say you have it monitor the inbox for the subject line exactly equals whatever you want to equal, and then you just say take the body and append it to this sheet.
But can you do that with an Excel spreadsheet out of Outlook? See, I can't use all the good tools. I can't use Gmail.
You can email.
I have to be able to send it to my Outlook box on my on my corporate server.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it is the Microsoft Excel doc at all 365 accessible?
No. Any ability to export or import information is blocked.
I can still help you out. I can still get it working in no time. Okay. You then need a standalone computer sitting there with the mouse tool that's constantly moving so your computer never locks.
Mouse servo.
Then via Outlook, you can set up automated things to happen when certain emails come in, and literally you can have them execute executables. You can have that computer then copy information out. You can send a request in saying, give me an update. It will go to your Outlook. It will do this specific executable that will then take that spreadsheet and basically copy it into an email, paste it, send it back out. And then you can see the email. Then you can say the subject line of update, send it to that one with the subject line update. It will run this different executable where you can actually take the contents of that and put it into a new version of the spreadsheet, not the same spreadsheet. We're not going to destroy data here, Mark. And then you can do that. But the gimmick is you need that computer. Basically, you just walk up to it and turn the monitor off and stick the thing in so the mouse doesn't stop moving. And
we should invent the Rumble Mouse. If it sits still for 1 minute, it's got a vibrating thing in it that keeps it moving.
They have. And you just need a ESP266 put it inside there. Done. My right now present dream job title, Mark, is solutions architect. And that's what I try to deliver. Solutions. You gave me a problem. I did everything in my power to give you a working solution.
You gave me a flowchart. You didn't give me a solution.
It works. It'll work. I've done right. More than
but
that.
But that's like you just said, all you have to do is build an engine and put it in a body and you've got a car.
No. Auto hotkey is all you need. You need auto hotkey. With that,
I can't install software on my computer.
You can do it on a different computer, copy over standalone EXE. You don't need to install anything. You can even rename it. You can call it a .bat file or whatever.
Somebody's going to hear this and report me for trying to get around the system just so I can have a to-do list that's accessible. That's all I want to do, people.
As long as your security team reviews what I said and somebody sits there and goes, you know, that would work. And then they know what to look for. Right. I'm bettering your company.
That's right. You're pen testing.
Yeah.
All right, Dor, what's your next app for us?
Okay. I will say I like the idea of note taking, Eric. So no matter what, it's still bookmarked, even though, you know, Mac. This is a game that got some buzz. Never ask me why a game gets buzz, because I'm never quite sure myself. It's called, I keep taking the mouse out of the computer screen and Synergy drops it. Rascals Online Unreleased, but it's spelled R-A-S-K-U-L-L-S, Rascals, like skull, you know.
R-A-Skulls.
Right now, it's right now completely free to download. No in-app ads, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases, completely free, true multiplayer game. If you watch the video, it's like a turn-based, almost like Plants versus Zombies, but top-down battling system is what I'll say. It's cool. It's online. It's multiplayer. It's completely free right now. I say install the app, try it out. When they start charging money, if you really like it, keep installed. If you don't, you know, kick it to the curb.
It's cool. I like the way the app looks, the animation style of it. For a top-down, it's really, like, all the edges are very smooth and finished.
And it's a game that's in portrait. I like games that are in portrait just because, you know.
Yeah, there's...
It looks less obvious that you're playing a game,
right.
I guess.
Yeah, anytime you see somebody at their desk with their phone sideways, you just assume it's the worst. I mean, they're either watching Netflix or they're playing an all-on game.
Or manipulating a wide spread, and I couldn't even say it with a straight face.
Hacking email.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean,
the time has come. We are now 55-ish minutes in. Eric, empty your tank.
All right. My tank's going to be emptied with a great little game called Holeo. Not Cornholio, just Holeo. It's H-O-L-E.io. And this is like the other EO games, you know, that we've brought before. Basically, it's a massive online player thing. Where you are essentially a sinkhole, and you drive around swallowing up people and cars, and as you grow larger buildings and other holes. If you come across a hole that's smaller than you, you can eat them and make your hole bigger. And it's a fun game. You just cruise around swallowing things up. Kind of like a beautiful Katamari game, but the opposite. You don't have things sticking to you. You've got things getting sucked in the hole.
And you're avoiding bigger holes?
Yes. And honestly, for a long time, it's a timed game. So sometimes you could play the whole game with hardly ever seeing somebody else, but your score is getting built up the more you eat. And the more, if you take down other holes, your score will get higher, faster. And if you don't run into other people. But you don't see, it's a big enough world that you don't see people, other players all the time.
Local couch multiplayer feature. Want to compete directly with your friends? Follow these four simple tasks. Step one, open the local multiplayer menu on the right and create a room. Step two, make your friends join. Step three, Step four, enjoy the battle.
Step three, huh?
Okay, well, that did it right there.
It plays over Bluetooth with each other.
Oh, sorry.
So it's local. It is local play, literally local play.
Yep.
Not within 30 feet of you. They can't play with you.
See, I don't like the Bluetooth thing, but I'm still going to download it and see if I can crush my kids some more. You know, it's fun.
If the guy
has to do it, might as well be dear old dad.
The guy in the tub were here, he'd be jumping on what I just said there. They have to be close enough. If they're not within 30 feet of you, they can't play with you.
Oh, yeah. And I'll say this, Android messages for web. I personally don't like text messaging, but I will say that works surprisingly well.
I haven't tried it yet.
It took me about three tries. I had to sync and unsync and resync a few times, but then it worked.
Yeah, the gimmick is, I believe, you have to be on the same local network. So if your phone's in mobile mode or airplane mode and you try to access it on your desktop client, it's not going to work. And it's almost, Mark, Gopher-esque. I believe it's Gopher, not Gopher. Oh, Squirrel. Squirrel from Steve Gibson. It has a little bit of that feel, even though I'm sure nothing in the technology field is the same, where you go there and it puts up a QR code. You have to pull your phone out and take a picture of it, basically. Pull up your phone, go to Android Messages for Web, point to your screen, bang, and everything starts working. Then if you disconnect the phone for even a couple seconds, it seems like the browser page notices it and says, oh, we can't do anything. That to me is at least a little bit secure. It's all right there local. It just looks like it, I would expect it to look, is what I'm going to say. And it works like I expect it to work. That's the best and worst I can say.
Yeah, so basically we got back some of the features they took out of Hangouts before they neutered Hangouts.
Right.
I remember that. So yeah, I want to tell my son to install it, so we're going to try it. So you're essentially, and there's no video in the store, which means
it's great.
Must be fantastic. By Voodoo, 40,000 reviews, that should count for something. 1 million plus installs, that should count for something. So you're a car driving around a city with a view from behind you and up.
No, you're a hole cruising around.
I know, but you're essentially like driving around a city, but you cannot drive through huge buildings, but you can absorb buildings that are smaller than
you. If you get big enough, you can take down buildings. Right. It takes a while.
You can take cars.
Yeah, it takes a while for you to be able to eat a car.
Right.
But sometimes you'll get lucky. You'll find a big group of humans just hanging out in a corner, you know, somewhere.
Right. Yeah, kids are used to this concept from all the, I want to say Worm.io games. Can't remember. Because they, all these games, these IO games, I believe, have the same concept where if we've seen this back in the day with like bacteria like games where you start out and any body of matter bigger than you, it would eat you. So they've had a whole, these kind of games for all. So kids will get it immediately, which means probably my kid will crush me. I'm willing to take that chance.
The only downside to it is you have to have your finger on the screen to move, which you just want to start at the very bottom of the screen so you're not covering up what you want to see.
Gotcha. So I got to try it.
I believe this is portrait too, if I remember right.
The screenshots are anyway.
My other, my last app of the day for my tank is called Fish Brain, and it's a local fishing map and forecast app by Fish Brain. So this will kind of tell you with the weather and moon tide charts and all that stuff and what kind of fish are supposed to be biting during then and what kind of lures to use, maps of different bodies of water.
Well,
but the thing is, it's also a social network where people in your local area, when they catch a fish, they post it on there and you can get these notifications like, hey, Jim Bob just caught a catfish in the Rock River. And they might have a picture of it, you know, also of the fish they just caught and kind of verify that that's where they're actually at and what they're doing. It's a little spammy kind of. It does offer some purchases. It really wants you to upgrade to premium. I'm not sure how far you can go without doing premium or what you're actually missing. But I have not paid for it yet. I haven't used it a whole lot yet either. But I went fishing in my canoe the other day and got skunked.
$6 a month.
Yeah, that's a little bit. I mean, if you're out there fishing a lot, it might be worth it. I mean, that's like the price of two dozen night crawlers. But I went fishing the other day and didn't catch anything, not even a bite. So that's when I installed this app. And gotcha. With the app installed, I did catch two fish the next day, even though I didn't look at the app and use it in any way to catch those fish.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have caught them if you hadn't installed the app.
But it was installed, yeah.
I mean, I've known fishermen my entire life. I know one thing. Fishermen love showing what they catch. So there's basis to have this kind of app out there is what I'll say. I could see at least one fisherman I know, if they get enjoyment out of the app, is easily paying the $6 a month and every time they catch something, taking pictures of it and showing what they got.
Yeah. And I was a little surprised because it sounds like a fishing reel, like, you know, like you're catching a fish, is the app notification. And the first time it happened, I was really caught off guard. My wife and I both looked and like, what was that? We had no idea what that noise was. So that's my tank.
All right, Dor, your tank, my friend.
I'm blaming my suffering with Synergy as being one of the reasons I'm not bringing a lot of apps, but I didn't have a lot in this week's queue. If you have ever been... Now, look, I know a lot of people in the world don't get a chance to go to Disney World. Disneyland, whatever. Epcot, Animal Kingdom, blah, 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 blah. But if you have the chance to go or you have a chance to go back, I highly encourage you. With each successive year I've been in 10 years, three times maybe, four. Every time we go, they successively integrate apps and services better and better, 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 better. last time we were there, the app on the phone was the wife's scheduler, booker, everything. She was able to basically tell us, now let's go walk over to Space Mountain. We have fast pass tickets. They're coming up in 20 minutes. Let's go over here. We're going to be seated to eat in 5 minutes, blah, 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 blah. And she did all of the scheduling and monitoring and maintenance, and then she could monitor live line times.
Wow.
Right there from the same app, stuff like that. You can, at least on the app she had, I think this is the app, I'm not sure, you could even put in your credit card information and via the app pay for treats before you even get there. Like, you know, up here is a bigger cart. They're going to have ice creams. You could right there pay on your device, walk up, grab your stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah, they like money a lot.
Well, Disney is just a big mall. That's really all it is.
A mall with more interactive elements. Yes. Because yeah, I think, pretty sure they only have one roller coaster that goes truly upside down. Even Space Mountain doesn't go truly upside down. It has, you know, hard banks and stuff. I believe it's only the Rockin' Roller Coaster is the only roller coaster that truly goes upside down in Disney, which is crazy if you stop thinking about it. Other parks you go to, they have 3-4 sometimes. Disney's not about shock value with the rides. They're not about making people puke. Mm. They're much more friendly atmosphere, like a mall.
I went on my first water slide roller coaster when I was on vacation a couple weeks ago. That was neat.
The log flume with the hill in the bottom.
No, I mean, this one actually had like ups and downs. You sat on a rubber raft like thing, and it was like, I think, 4 deep. It was set up like a roller coaster, but there'd be parts that shoot you straight up and down, curves. It was neat. Unless you're the person in the front.
I am both a hefty individual and claustrophobic, so tubes at water parks are my kryptonite. I don't want to get stuck in one. I don't want to be in one. I don't want to have anything to do with them.
Tubes are so much better on your back and your skin than just body slides. You don't get the road rash or anything.
No, I don't mean inner tubes. I mean the things that are round.
Oh,
when you go yeah, down a tube.
Water tubes. Yeah. Yeah.
I cringe just at the thought of it. I don't like being in small places. And my nightmare is like getting stuck and the water is like filling up behind me, drowning me.
Yeah.
So not
you
only do I
like
die, but
Charlie
I die
the chocolate fat.
I die embarrassed. Right. So it's the worst possible combination.
They had one there that was nothing but blackness the entire time, all the way down to the water. And then they had one next to it was pretty much the same thing, but it had laser lights and music, or LED lights and music.
So that was called the migraine.
Right. I don't know. It was pretty fun.
The epileptic migraine.
I think they had $6 beers, as far as I remember.
Mm.
All right, we need one more app. We're at 9 apps. Surely we can come up with one more to be at 10.
Doris got it.
I don't really have anything handy. I mean, not good, not worthy.
All right, well, then I will mention something.
Okay.
If you're a Sam's Club member, there is such a thing as the Scan and Go app. For Sam's Club. I discovered it completely by accident. I was there yesterday, and I was standing in front of a line, in front of an item, and there was no price tag on it, and I wanted to know how much this thing cost. And so I pulled out my phone, like any good Android app would do, and I Googled barcode scanner Sam's, and I came up with the Scan and Go app. Not only does it scan stuff, but it actually, as you're walking around, you scan your membership card, and so it knows who you are. And then you go through and you ring up all your stuff and then you pay for it and you walk out and you don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to deal with any humans. It's an amazing thing.
You don't have to wait in any line?
No. You just load up your cart. You scan everything as you're putting it in your cart. You pay for it right from the app and then you walk away.
There's nobody at the door even checking anything?
Well, there is, but you've got the receipt on the app.
Right.
So scan and go. Sam's Club. Check it
please.
Out.
Is there a membership fee?
Please, Walmart. Accept Sam's great idea here and move forward with it.
Well, it's the same company.
Yeah, it is.
Well, there's a membership free to be a Sam's Club member. It's
worth
25
it.
Bucks a year or something. Yeah, totally worth it. The first trip, we made that money back. But yeah, just this app alone, if I were better, if I had planned, I would have gotten you a link. But you can just Google it.
So here's the question. Did you at all have to explain to the wife, no, we're fine, we paid. No, really, we paid.
Well, unfortunately, my story was a little bit of fantasy, because what happened was I had everything going, and on the way out the door, I grabbed one of those shrink-wrapped things of fireworks, and when I scanned it, it said, please see the register.
Oh,
you got to be 18 years old to buy fireworks. So,
It is still the same company as Walmart. That's right. Okay.
But so I, you know, I idealized the experience as to what I imagine it will be like the next time that I'm not buying fireworks.
Oh, there'll be something.
Well, they had to verify your age is what I'm going to say, so that's okay.
Yeah, because as I was, you know, when I was scanning through the little $7 an hour robot who was standing behind the counter doing whatever the computer screen told her to, scan the fireworks and said, are you 8? And then looked up at me and just stopped.
I wonder how that would work if you bought a bottle of wine then. Probably.
Just not an option. It would just say, no.
You got to go to the register.
I would assume, yeah. But anyway, scan and go, Sam's Club. If you're not a Sam's Club member, if you have a Sam's Club near you, it's absolutely worth it. I mean, where else are you going to get like an 8-pound bag of potato chips? I mean, just nowhere.
You know, that would be a good, that app could help alcoholics, though, where they wouldn't want to buy alcohol at Sam's anymore because of that, still having to go to a register.
And I'll say I do miss potato chips, Mark. I will say I am still using the Lose It app, and it's definitely good. I don't see them offering anything I'd be willing to pay a monthly fee for. So I really wish I could pay a one-time fee and say thank you, because the app just seems to work.
I was out to dinner with somebody who told me about Lose It app yesterday or 2 days ago.
Well, it does one of my key things, which is whatever I enter in, have at a higher rate right there beneath my enter box. And the scanning of barcodes has been more accurate than I would have thought, is what I'll say.
I still haven't started. I installed it when Mark told us about it, but I still haven't started using it yet. I need to.
I've never found a barcode it couldn't scan. Everything I've ever thrown at it, it knew right away.
Yeah, but I've had plenty that hasn't, but they're also not what I would consider nationwide things. Like Schwann's is a company that comes to your door. Like half of the things they have, it doesn't work with.
Oh, yeah, that would be, yeah, I can understand that.
But, you know, that's quite okay, because they're the oddballs out. So everything I buy at a store basically works. I will say the worst I've had is I type something, I click the result, and it has essentially no nutrition information except for calories.
Right. That's annoying.
That's the only actual negative about the app. But seriously, every time I've seen that, I've backed out. I've seen another option right there, and I click that, and it has it.
Yeah, they have a growing list of verified foods, too. It's a little green check mark. It's pretty obvious where they have actually, you know, either talked to the manufacturer or measured the ingredients at the restaurant or whatever. It's pretty cool. And I like the recipe sharing. So my wife will make, like, she made these black bean brownies with the erythritol. So she entered all the information in there. Turns out there's 60 calories and, like, 1 gram of carbs per. But I didn't want to just enter that. So she put all the ingredients in, shared with me the recipe, and now I can just type on black bean brownies, and there it is. So it's handy like that. All right. Let me recap our apps for the night. CG, A Fart for Melusina by Pixel.Lu. You Get Free by C.H. Huang. Artista Impresso by JixPix Software. Open Phone Second Phone Number by Open Phone Technologies, Inc. Notion Notes Tasks Wikis by Notion Labs, Inc. Rascals Online, unreleased, by Half Brick Studios. Holio by Voodoo. Fishbrain, local fishing map and forecast app by Fishbrain. Play Disney Parks by Disney. And Sam's Club, Scan and Go, Wholesale Shopping and Saving by Sam's Club. 10 apps, good and true, for your listening enjoyment. Gentlemen, what wise words do you have for our audience tonight? Eric, give us something sage.
I'm going to say, if I'm ever in New Zealand, I'm going to go find Ivor, especially for tonight's show, because he helped me out with 2 really good apps that I brought. And if he's ever in the States, he needs to look me up and we will buy him some dinner or something.
Absolutely. Some weak American beer.
And other listeners, please share your apps as much as he does, or you know, the good ones. Don't just share anything, but if there's something that we haven't discussed or you don't remember us discussing, let us know.
As Dora likes to say, there are many ways to contribute to this show. Money is but one of those. You can contribute with your ideas. You can contribute with your helping out of other people in the community. You can help by giving apps. You can help by simply sending positive emails that say, hey, guys, I'm out here and I like your stuff. All of those are equally valid ways to contribute to the show. However, all of those but one don't pay the lights. Patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts. Help keep the lights on and the servers running.
I really do like Patreon. And I'll say this. If you want to hit us off on Google Plus, it's easy. If you want to hit us off on Twitter, if you just shoot it at PodNuts, any apps that get shot our way that's not an obvious paid service from a developer, I can forward on. If you want to hit us off on Facebook, you don't got to worry about it because I don't have to get off Facebook because I'm not ever on Facebook. And PodNuts is technically there. If you message PodNuts, the Russians might come for you. And if you're Russian, the Chinese might come for you. And if you're Chinese, well, the Americans might come for you. So don't even try to contact us on Facebook.
I'm on Facebook, unfortunately.
Yeah, congratulations.
That's part of my job. So I can, yeah, if I can get the feed for that, maybe I'll just manage that page since I'm there anyway until I offload that to somebody else.
I'm not going to be held accountable for you being on Facebook. Well, why do you think I'm on Facebook? Oh,
the minute my day, my 9 to 5 or 8 to 7 or whatever it is I work tells me I don't have to do Facebook, yeah, I wouldn't be there for PodNuts either anymore.
Well, if I can't count on you, then I'm not counting on you.
All right.
That's my excuse.
All right, folks. That's it. I'm calling it. Time of death, 10:27 p.m., July 5th, 2018. Thanks for listening, everybody. That's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts Podcast.
My name is Jeff Halsh. I am the host of PodNuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, where we take live calls on the air to answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/Computer Repair Podcast Live.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.